closer.
It's not playing with Lex and Dan.
Welcome back to another exciting, dare I say, episode of Not Playing with Lex and Dan, as always.
Were you saying the excited part or the episode part?
You've totally flummoxed me. I don't even know what's happening. Is this a podcast? What is going on? Who are you? Why are you inside my computer?
Well, my name is Lex, and you're Dan.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this show. Hold on. I think I can totally fake it. Yeah. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Not Playing with Dan and Lex.
That's us.
So we're back. It's good. It's our second season. It's been going well, right. I feel like. How about you?
Yeah. It's SO2EO2 today, so I'm
that
pretty
is
excited.
Some serious nomenclature there.
Thank you. So I'm pretty fired up. I mean, we didn't get canceled after the first episode of season two, and that means we're on to something.
Yeah.
Here.
The network had some notes for us, but I felt like most of them were either totally reasonable or complete crap.
Right.
Most
easy
of them
to ignore.
Complete crap. Yeah.
I don't think Snell listens. I think we're fine.
They're like, how do you feel about doing this show, but without the movies? We're like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the movies are kind of a big part of it.
Well, tonight's movie is, I have no good say. Tonight's movie is also about a big thing.
Wow. Tonight's movie. Okay, that note about replacing Lex, though, that one was spot on.
That one's becoming clearer. But tonight's movie is one that I have seen. But you have not.
That is correct, and that's surprising because I feel like you're trying to play towards what you think is going to appeal to me here. And I'm fascinated.
I said last week that I picked a movie that I felt confident you would enjoy.
I believe you guaranteed it.
Yeah, I liked it. My wife did not like it. I think this all bodes well for you.
Okay, all right.
But it is called Moon.
Yes, I am familiar with some things about Moon. Would you like me to tell you what I know?
Yeah, what do you know of Moon?
Well, I can tell you. Well, it came out just, it's a pretty recent movie. This is, in fact, the newest movie we've ever watched on Not Playing.
This is true.
This may throw some of our listeners for a loop since they might have thought that we were doing sort of a 90s theme this season. No, we're doing a whatever the hell we feel like theme.
That's right.
Sorry, guys.
Moon came out in 2009.
Wow, is that? Oh, yeah. I was going to say it was even more recent than that, but wow, yeah. That's a solid 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I can tell you that it is stars Sam Rockwell, who I quite like. I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell.
Well, we're off to a good start then.
I can tell you he plays an astronaut on a space station on the moon.
The moon is involved. That's a pretty good analysis so far.
Thanks. I believe his only companion on the moon space station is a robot.
Okay.
I believe it is voiced by Kevin Spacey.
Oh, look at you.
I know a lot of things about this. So here's the thing. I know there is kind of a twist. It is unclear to me based on what I have heard exactly what that twist is, other than I kind of know that the movie's about him kind of like going insane slowly or perhaps questioning what is happening on his little moon station.
Interesting. I didn't know you would know all this.
I know. I didn't. It's one of those movies that, you know, in some ways it's one of those movies I should have seen because I am a big sci-fi fan and it came out. And I feel like it was one of those things that I just missed it when it came out and I never quite got around to going back and watching it.
Mm.
I can tell you that the director, as we talked about last week, is Duncan Jones, who is David Bowie's son. And he's directed also another movie, Source Code, with Jake Gyllenhaal, which I've seen and I liked.
Yeah, I've seen that one too, which is kind of surprising.
That is kind of surprising, but maybe the whole moon thing really sort of rubbed off well for you.
Yeah,
and I can tell you that amusingly, I know that his next movie that he's directing is based on the venerable video game franchise Warcraft.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
See, I know things that you didn't even know about this movie.
Yeah, you're a pro. Technically, I don't know if that's about this movie, but okay.
It's not really, but interesting fact. Yeah, I think that's about all I really know. I'll let you know while we're watching it if other things. Oh, yeah, I knew that. Totally. Yeah.
Well,
I
was hoping you didn't know that there was some kind of, you know.
It's hard to avoid the whole twist thing, right? Like, yeah. Especially with a movie that's been out for several years.
I went in knowing nothing when we watched it, and I was stunned. And so, yeah, I mean, the only other thing I would mention to you, to maximize your enjoyment of this movie, you should make sure that you're ready for Mother's Day. Well, here's the thing. This sponsor that I'm
next
about,
week.
The sponsor I'm about to tell you about is not just for your mom. It can be for your mom or for your mother of your children or whatever, but it could also, if I had some of Sherry's berries here right now, I would eat them while we watch the movies. Unfortunately, I already ate all the berries they sent my way.
Which is good, because otherwise you wouldn't be forced to order more.
That's right.
For your mom and your wife for Mother's Day.
So order a gift for the moms in your life that's as unique as they are. Giant, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, starting at just $19.99. That's over 40% savings. Or you can double the berries for just $10 more. You're going to go to berries.com. You're going to click on the mic in the upper right corner and use our code NOTPLAYING. So, Dan, you've had these strawberries, right?
Yes, I have had these strawberries, and I will tell you that they're the perfect combination of fruit, which is good for you, and chocolate, which is also really good for you, but
even
also tastes delicious.
So I'm gonna rattle through a checklist. You say check if you would agree with these descriptors of the strawberries.
I like this game already.
Enormous.
Check.
Fresh.
Check.
Juicy.
Check.
Mouth-watering.
Check.
Right. The strawberries don't have mouths.
Let me put it this way. If my mouth was not watering when I opened the box and looked at them, it was definitely watering by the time I bit into one.
Right. They're dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. They're
check.
Topped with chocolate
check.
Chips, decorative
Wait, are we
swizzle,
still doing this thing?
Or
check.
Nuts. We're done with checks. You just need to use our code, NOTPLAYING, when you order. The berries were enormous. Dan and I both got them. They are delicious. They're really good. I had to share them with my wife, which I didn't love because I wanted to eat them all myself. Dan did not have that problem.
I did not have that problem because my girlfriend's allergic to strawberries, so it worked great for me.
And this is 100% true. I sent Sherry's Berries using the promo code NOTPLAYING to my mom for Mother's Day.
Wow.
She doesn't listen to this show, so she doesn't know.
Hey, Mom, guess what?
I bet your mouth is watering now, so don't wait long and order now before this Mother's Day deal ends. Visit berries.com to order, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner as soon as you get there and type in not playing. Again, go to berries.com, berries. Click on the microphone and type in not playing. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. Make sure you order now. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 11th. You don't have a lot of time left.
That is definitely true. And thanks to the fine folks at Sherry's Berries for sponsoring Not Playing.
I'm a big fan of Sherry.
We really appreciate it.
I'm really glad, you know, that her name wasn't like Mauvocado.
She might have gone into a different line of works.
Well, with that in mind, how would you like to watch Moon?
I'm ready and willing.
Count us in.
All right. So we are queued up to the point right after the Sony Picture Classics logo has faded to black. My time code reads 1 hour, 36 minutes, and 59 seconds to go.
That's if you're watching on Amazon Instant Video. We can't vouch for anything else, but if you paused right after that thing where it fades out, you're in the right place.
You're pretty good shape.
Yeah.
And we will press play in 3, 2, 1.
Well, Dan, I have some good news for you.
Do you?
You have now seen the film Moon.
But have I really? Can anyone really have been said to have seen a film?
It's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. My guess is maybe. What'd you think?
I liked it. The Lex Fridman guarantee holds up. That was really good.
I'm so proud.
You know, it's fascinating. Well, it's one of those, I think it does what science fiction movies do best, which is there is a lot of like thought about, right? It's a very philosophical movie without being overly like, I was worried it was going to delve too much into like the, you know, becoming sort of like a psychological thriller type thing.
Yeah.
I like that it sort of stuck with, I like that they became friends. I was worried that it was going to become like, oh, he takes out his anger on himself and he kills himself.
Right.
And, like that seemed like maybe a little too depressing. I like that there's an uplifting element to it. It reads very much like, or, you know, it watches very much like a short story.
Yeah.
I can imagine this being like a sci-fi short story that I had read. And yeah, I don't know. I really found it fascinating. Like there was a point at which I felt like that movie could go in any number of directions.
Yes.
Which was kind of cool, like when they find all the other bodies. I was like, well, maybe they wake them all up, and like when those guys come in, they like jump them.
You know, when you talk about the short story element, I totally get that. And what I was intrigued by rewatching especially is I don't feel like there's tons of story padding or anything like that. But, you know, you find out relatively early on that what's going on. Like you had already sort of concluded it, and then they pull back the curtain and say, yes, that's absolutely what's happening. And then I was thinking, because, you know, I did see this movie once a couple years ago, and I'm thinking, man, how do they fill the rest of the movie? But they do. You know, it's just, it doesn't end where it could end.
Well, it's not about that, right? Yeah. Like it's really, it's about the clone thing, but it's about the implications of it, not about the, it's not all dependent on this twist, which is something I was thinking about while I was watching this movie is, I wanted to talk to you about like movies with twist endings.
Right.
Because I feel like there's a lot of movies with twist endings that really depend on like the element of surprise. And once you have been surprised, that movie doesn't necessarily hold the same weight that it does, that it has before. I think good movies are ones that have twists, but what I like about watching them and rewatching them is to see how they execute upon that, how they set up for it.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask, have you ever seen Fight Club?
I have, yes. I'm a big fan.
Oh, yes, as am I. And I went into that movie the first time knowing what the twist was. But I was still so intrigued to know how they pulled it off that it was still a really great movie to watch. And I've watched it many, many times since then.
Right.
And I don't think it suffers from you knowing what the twist is.
I had I had the movie... The Sixth Sense spoiled for me by a film professor in college. And so then I went into it knowing exactly what the twist was. And, you know, it still plays as a good movie. You can't ever appreciate it the way people who don't know the twist is. But I hate as soon as they say, you know, don't tell your friends about the secret twist.
Just knowing really know there that. Is a twist, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I went in... You've seen The Usual Suspects, I think we've discussed.
Yes. Another Kevin Spacey film.
Right, another good Kevin Spacey film with a twist. But I went into that also knowing, well, I knew there was a twist, right? And so in the first 30 seconds, I was like, well, what's the most unlikely thing that it could be? It's that this is this and this. And of course, that is exactly how the movie goes.
Right.
And I think that it doesn't, again, a great movie that I think is still fascinating to watch, even if you know what the twist is.
Yeah.
Memento comes to mind. At a certain point, this I think owes a little something to Memento, perhaps.
I can see that.
Not directly, but I feel like there's an element of the whole memory thing being pliable, which is kind of interesting in the unreliability of memory.
So the questions I was asking myself this time are, one, on the plotting, why do they have to give him memories? If they have the ability to inject, you know, to do memory implants, couldn't they just, you know, have him remember Earth life as terrible and Moon life as awesome?
Unclear how much of that is an implant. I mean, he says they're implanted memories, but at the same time, those people clearly exist, right?
Right.
So in some ways, they sort of like, the way I kind of saw it is, was they sort of froze, quote unquote, him at a certain point.
Right.
And then they just replay, like they sort of dole out all those messages, right, as they hit sort of an allotted time. But it is kind of suspicious that there would be no reference. Like, he talks about all the messages he sent her and all the messages she sent him.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what the whole point of the editing is, taking stuff out that is inconsistent or that would raise questions. Like when the message blips at the beginning.
Right.
Like, is that just his mind going, or is there something that's been removed from that because, you know, Gertie removed something because it would be damaging, like because it would, you know, point the finger at some sort of inconsistency.
And they never spell it out. Like there's clearly an edit,
which is fine. I like the idea that it's sort of ambiguous.
And they show, you know, that blip where he sees older footage of himself.
Right, right.
And there's no explanation for why that's happened either.
I kind of wonder if it's Gertie trying to help him in some way, like, you know, wake him up.
It's, you know, when Lauren and I talked about it the first time I saw this movie, that's what we concluded. We decided that, you know, Gertie wants to do right by him.
Well, which I like too, because they, you know, again, they set him up as a robot that could be very easily menacing. And at many points he comes across as kind of like, he's clearly hiding, right? You know, and again, I was worried that like he would turn on Sam, but I thought it was kind of sweet that, you know, he ends up being his friend and his defender. And that programming is so consistent. Like in some ways, it's like the, you know, the HAL programming, but gone right, of the, like, you know, I'm here to protect this person no matter what, regardless of whether or not it conflicts with sort of what this company wants to do. I kind of dug that element of it because it was. I like it better when people in movies get along. Not that I don't like conflict, but like, I don't know. I like the uplifting end of it. So I liked that there was an element of the menace, and you weren't really quite sure which way it was going to work out. But I like that it worked out for the better.
Right.
Here's a question for you: do you think the original Sam knows about all the clones?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I have no idea. I don't even think I have an opinion on it. I'm going to have an opinion on it. My take is that original Sam had to volunteer effectively to have himself cloned, that it would be too evil for him to be cloned against his knowledge.
I wondered in part if he had gone there and actually come back, and then because they're like, well, we could go find someone else to come up here, or we could basically clone this guy, you know, without his knowledge and have an unlimited supply of Sams. And won't that be a lot cheaper? Like, again, knowing corporations, it feels like that is not something that is out of the question. But right. I think, you know, again, I kind of dig that it's ambiguous. I don't think it needs to be explained. I think a lot of movies fall into that trap of over-explaining things. And I like that they leave some room open for discussion and interpretation here.
Totally agreed. You know, this is not really meant as a criticism of the film, but rewatching it, I would say I am surprised by the decision, not disappointed by, but surprised by the decision to give it a slightly happy / optimistic ending.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, they spend just, and they do it very minimally, right? So it almost seems like, you know, I don't know if it's, it seems like a film of that size and budget that maybe they didn't do a whole lot of screenings where they tweak things, but it almost seems like tacked on right at the end, you know, like, you know, their stock is plummeting and clone Sam is testifying.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's very, really very dark story for most of the time, especially as they realize what's happening to them. And it's, you know, it's creepy.
Right. Well, and it's interesting that they tack on that little coda with all the like radio, you know, TV broadcasts and what have you. Because otherwise you could have just left it. If you had left it without that, and the last shot is sort of, you know, new Sam. Or sorry, I guess Sam landing, you know, just going back to Earth, right? You know, then you're kind of left to wonder what happens to him. And I wonder if that was a thing that was sort of like tested at some point. And they're like, let's see how it plays if we just end it that way. And people were probably like a little frustrated with not knowing what happened, because I myself was sitting there thinking like, oh man, I want to know what happens when, you know, Sam gets back to Earth,
right?
Like, what, again, what are the implications? Because if otherwise it seems, you know, that nothing has changed, right? If he only saved himself,
right,
which is a statement in and of itself, but not a very satisfying one.
Right. And so, you know, for me, when I watched it the first time, I had this thought of, well, we'll never know what happens to that Sam. You know, you can choose to believe that he's whooping his way back down to Earth and he makes it there alive somehow, or you can say, well, his calculations are probably wrong and, you know, it didn't work. But so now, you know, it worked. He lived, and he's instituting some kind of change, although for as long as it takes, there's that clone army working in succession still up on the... Now, I think there is a fair... what I really like about it is this... It's a reasonable moral question, I think. Like, I don't think it's perfectly cut and dry. Certainly, the movie, I would say, takes the stance that what's happening on there, up there is horrible. But I can at least understand... I can 100% believe, without even thinking that corporations are pure evil, I can 100% believe a corporate path that would get to that point of, well, here's an ideal solution.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially if they let the engineers stay in charge.
Right.
Guys, wouldn't it just be easier if we could just repeatedly clone this guy? I mean, yeah, it's one of those decisions to, you know, to paraphrase, you've seen Jurassic Park?
Yes.
Yeah, the Jeff Goldblum line that I love from that, which is, you spent so much time thinking about whether or not you could that you never really stopped to think whether you should do this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's also one of those things that I think comes up as, you know, moral quandaries of things like cloning, right?
Right.
Like, because to me, you know, that's that moment when there's a moral question right at the end. If he just leaves and leaves new Sam to wake up.
Right.
Right. Which in and of itself is kind of tricky, because you feel like there's probably some inconsistency in finding the dead guy in the rover, finding the live guy there, but not realizing how long ago I don't know. There seems like there's a mystery. There's a separate mystery movie in which they uncover all of this.
well,
corollary. Yeah. But there's a moral question, right, in that if he had left without changing the coordinates on the harvester to knock out the jamming, would that be tantamount to murder by basically saying,
right,
hey, I'm leaving that guy, you know, he's going to be in the exact same position that I was in. I didn't kill him, but I also, you know, didn't do anything to save him.
Yeah. So, okay, so your belief is that he knocks that down so that the new Sam, remaining Sam, is able to communicate back with Earth again in real time.
Or at least see what's happening with all the fallout. You know, in theory, he could save him by
letting him know. See, I was, you know, to me, I wanted him to leave a note.
He was worried the guys would find rescuers might find it, right?
Yeah.
So I think he did a subtle thing, which was kind of cool, in redirecting the harvester. And if the jamming's knocked out, then, you know, new Sam can theoretically see, hey, there's a clone of me on Earth saying that everybody, like, that they're doing this terrible, terrible thing to me.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I think that the movie makes its most compelling argument that what's happening there is really evil when the guy peeks in and says, well, he's not going anywhere. Like, this doesn't effectively count as a life of any kind.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So at that point, that the movie convinces me. But I would say that maybe I'm just a horrible person, but there are times as I'm watching, I'm like, well, I mean, this isn't ideal, but it's not terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, except for the part where you die after 3 years or so.
Right. The part where they euthanize the Sams isn't great.
Well, and also they seem to be dying. I wondered if the fact that they're dying has to do with, you know, radiation exposure or something, because a lot of those seemed like symptoms of radiation poisoning.
Oh, interesting.
You know, just living out in outer space. In theory, you know, for example, one of the problems with living on the moon or someplace else is they don't have all the electromagnetic fields that the Earth has. So that could be a problem. Otherwise, it could just be their cheap knockoffs of the original.
Exactly. That's why I had asked you while we were watching if you'd seen Multiplicity. I was thinking that it's, you know, a potential side effect of cloning is that they just don't live that long. Because that was, I remember, the problem when they cloned Dolly the sheep. Like, it started getting to advanced age far too soon.
They suffer from problems from the cloning process because it's imperfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, well, I mean, and then of course for me, the interesting question is, you know, also, so he, you know, goes down to Earth and says, hey, they're doing this terrible thing with all these clones. And, you know, assuming they get, you know, reprimanded or whatever, do they take the other 100,000 Sam clones back down, wake them all up and be like, all right, well, we screwed up, so you guys are free to go about your life? Are there like 1,000 Sams going to run, you know, roam around on Earth? Because you can't just kill them all at that point, right? That is also basically murder.
Right, right. Now, once everybody knows about it, but like, what is the, you know, what is that daughter supposed to do with
1,000 dads?
Yeah. Dads? So, I mean.
It's interesting.
In terms of what does happen next, that the Duncan Jones has said that he's going to be creating a graphic novel sequel called Mute, and that he's hopeful that Mute will then be made into a film, which Sam Rockwell has agreed to appear in briefly.
Oh, can we just talk, just like, you know, aside from the moral implications, whatever, Sam Rockwell is fantastic. I've loved him for a long time, and this is just another one of those movies that convinces me that he's a great actor.
I think I think it's probably his best performance in my limited Sam Rockwell
viewing. I like him in pretty much everything I've seen him in, but I agree this one requires some extra jumps, I feel like. The degree of difficulty is harder, we'll put it that way.
And it doesn't feel at all hammy. It's not, I mean, no, I love Back to the Future, but like, you know, it's not Michael J. Fox acting with himself, or Eddie Murphy, heaven forbid, acting with himself. Right. When he's doing scenes with himself, you can absolutely forget that, wait a second, he's not actually talking to himself.
There's two versions of him here, right?
And it feels like two different characters, two different performances at the same time, which is what makes it so impressive to me.
No, and I think that's incredibly impressive, and it's one of the things that makes this work, right? There's a lot of executions of this that don't work because an actor can't pull it off.
Right.
But this one definitely plays.
And what I would say too is, you know, it's a very low budget film as these things go. And what makes it so impressive to me is that you don't, I mean, certainly if you've seen Gravity recently, then it's not quite as impressive when they're moving around in space. And sure, he doesn't have, you know, he's not defying gravity at any point, but I feel like the set design is top notch.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great. The makeup is top notch. Like, I'm very impressed by how they made this movie the way they did.
Yeah. Well, and so apparently Duncan Jones's background is TV advertisements, so he knew how to work with special effects on a small budget. But it totally, yeah, it totally works. I agree. Yeah, it's a really cool movie. I really kind of dig it, and it's definitely a thought-provoking one, which is nice.
Well, I agree, and I'm so like I got pretty nervous after last week's episode where I said I guarantee you're going to like this movie. And I spent the rest of the week going, geez, what if he doesn't like it? But you did. So there we go. Now, do you know what we're going to be watching?
Had some thoughts, and there's one I had in mind, but as we were watching the movie, one came to me that I think is on your list and that I think has some resonances with this movie. Not a lot, but like there's a rapport in it that made me think of this movie.
Okay.
And that is 1997's L.A. Confidential.
Okay. I know, nothing about it.
Almost nothing. Okay, excellent. That's cool. I think you'll like it.
Are you going to make a guarantee here?
I don't know if I can make a guarantee because I don't know if this is right up your alley, but it's a really good movie.
Okay.
And I feel like I've only seen it a couple times, but I really like it and think it's well made. And I remember the first time I saw it, having heard about it for years, that it was a good movie. Like, I remember having heard about it. I guess it came, so it's 97. So it came out when I was a teenager and probably just, you know, old enough to see R-rated movies. And it was, I remember it was in the, you know, it came up during the Academy Awards and I was like, oh, that seems like a movie for adults or whatever, you know, like, and so I had heard it was a good movie for a long time, but hadn't really had any particular desire to watch it. And an ex-girlfriend, I think, actually convinced me. I was like, yeah, let's watch this movie. I really like it. And I was like, okay, you know, I've heard it's okay. And I watched it. I was like, wow, I really like that movie. So having said that, I think I'm looking forward to rewatching it and hoping that you like it as you watch it for the first time. And yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see it. So thank you. Don't forget to order some Sherry's Berries. I guess I'll watch another movie with you soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for listening, everybody.
You're welcome. You sure those are nunchucks and not tambourine?
No, there's a tambourine and nunchucks to the left of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. You can't have nunchucks without a tambourine.
Well, not in this lifetime.
I mean, no man should have to live like that is all I'm saying.